First, I want to thank you for 70 in attendance this morning, 748 in the offering, and I appreciate you being obedient to the Lord and praying about what God would have you to give and being obedient to His Word as well as His Spirit in that. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Word of the Lord says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, and we are come to worship Him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. I want to preach, if the Lord will hit me this morning, out of this chapter of the Word of the Lord and share with you some things that I think will be a help and a blessing to you in a little different fashion than what I've ever saw or preached in this passage before. I want to preach, if the Lord will hit me today, on this thought: what to do when you've been following a star and you find a shack. What to do when you've been following a star and you find a shack. Now, these wise men had seen the star in the east, had been following it for some time, and yet when they find the Lord Jesus, they find where this star is leading them. It is not into the lap of luxury, but rather just an humble carpenter's home. I mean, have you ever noticed how sometimes life doesn't turn out the way that you carefully plan for it to? I mean, all the plans and aspirations and goals that you set up don't come to pass exactly the way that you expected them. Had it done it that quite that way, friend, I would have become some professional ball player, because at 8 years old, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to chase that ball and wanted to hit that ball and all that kind of stuff. But this issue of a lack of talent got in the way. And so all the time, your plans and aspirations and goals don't come out exactly the way that you planned for them to. But I will say this morning, I'm doing today just exactly what I was born into this world to do, as I'm preaching the Word of the Lord. You see, your plan and God's plan is not always the same plan. Amen. And Jesus may not have been born in the lap of luxury, but He was right exactly where the Lord wanted Him to be. Amen. Sometimes circumstances don't follow your plans. Often it seems that life is nothing more than a series of shattered dreams. And my friend, disappointments. And these wise men had spent the last 2 years or so following a star. Had then left their home and their families behind, expecting to find something great and marvelous. They had left their country and they were now pilgrims. They had faced perils of the travel and obstacles as they journeyed, friend. They even found themselves in the presence of a king. And then when they finally arrived at their destination, after the many miles of their trip and all the dignitaries that they met along the way, and they found the star that had been following stopped over an humble house instead of a royal palace. Had these men probably dreamed of finding their side in a royal palace somewhere or another, maybe wrapped in a royal blue blanket? But instead they found he and his mother in an almost carpenter's home, friend. Well, my friend, this explains that their aspirations may explain why they went to Herod's house first. As sure as this man's a king, we'll find him at the king's house.
that not only was he not at the king's house, the king didn't even know where he was or how to go about finding him. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, the answers in life are not found in money or in stocks and bonds or gold or silver. But he found the answer whenever he called the men of God together and said, "Search the scriptures." That's where you'll find answers for your life. It'll not be found in financial security and a big house and a nice car and that job you think you always wanted. I'm going to tell you, friend, it'll be found when you get in the plan of God for your life and you resign yourself to His will and you learn to search the scriptures. Then you'll find all that you've really been looking for every day of your life. Amen. And so their expectations and their journey and what they found in their journey, my friend, they began to look for and had the expected luxury in a nice home. But what they found did not match their dreams and their expectations. They found the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in the home of a peasant. They found him sleeping in a little sack. Amen. And now I don't know at this point. It doesn't say for certain that they found him in Bethlehem, but that's where they went to begin their search for him. I don't know if the Lord or Jesus, it appears that he's maybe a year or two old by this point. And I don't know if maybe Mary and Joseph have hung around and stayed around Bethlehem since the time of his birth. If it's so, surely they're living in a shack and just whatever they can to get by to reestablish themselves in a new community, seeing how they were residents of the land of Nazareth. Or if they, I don't know if maybe they made their way back home to Nazareth. And the wise men have journeyed and asked questions and sought out and investigated to see where this family went. I don't know those things, and you don't either, friend. But in either round, we do know he was in an humble home. The home of a carpenter, not a rich man. The home of people who work with their hands and not kings and princes who dwell in palaces and wear soft raiment. Amen. But our Lord Jesus, we find him in an humble home. Here we find that these kings, as they come in and amid the rubble of their torn and twisted dreams, these wise men found some things in that humble setting that changed their lives and changed their course. I want to tell you, sometimes life has a way of shattering our dreams and destroying our hopes and plans. But I want to preach on this morning, what do wise men do when they're following a star and they find a sash? Amen. I want to give you three things and I'll close out. Don't have a complicated or a long message, and all of you are saying hallelujah. I want to say, first of all, this morning, when a wise man follows a star and finds a sash, he recognizes God in the sash. Amen. He recognizes God in the sash. It was not what they expected. It was not what they anticipated. Maybe it was not what they had hoped for. But when they got there, they came to worship. And worship they did. Hey! I know folks that come to church sometimes and then they come in here and we don't have brand new pews and we don't have a new piano and the pews is merely donated and the piano was donated and the organ was donated and the next building was a new choice. A hokey pong, my friend, before we got it. And my friend began to knock all the liquor bottles out and drag the cabinets out of here and the bars and the bar stools. Hey, man, that's right. And they come out there, maybe finding a place like they find in them cathedrals with marble and stained glass. And they don't find those things. Maybe it didn't meet up with their expectations. But I'm going to tell you this, we're not in time to see marble and stained glass and statues. Amen. I came to worship. And that's what I'm going to do. Amen. Glory run your life many times. You expect big things and bold things and great things. All this sort of stuff. And yet sometimes you find out that all your expectations are not in the plan of God. I tell you what you need to do. Instead of being disappointed and upset and angry and frustrated, you need to find your place in your shack and in your shattered dream to find the hand of God and worship God.
Amen. That's right. If the Lord wanted you to have some of them things you've been dreaming about and aspiring towards, amen, if you're doing the right things, then you'd have them. But obviously, that's not His plan. You need to just get in on what His plan is. Amen. Listen to me today. You'd be better off to live on a clothesline and eat wind pudding, amen, and have God in your heart than what you would to live in a palace and drive a Cadillac. Amen. That's right. And not know the Lord. First, consciously every day and go to hell. I tell you, I'd rather sit beside the gate and let the dog lick my sores and know that heaven's waiting for me. When you get to the place where, my friend, the will of God means more to you than anything else, then you can live and worship and enjoy and in peace with God.
Amen. That's exactly right. When life shatters your dreams, your first duty is to find the Lord. If you're His, friend, nothing can happen to you. Nothing can happen in your life that He has not allowed. Even when Job lost everything, it was the Lord, my friend, that allowed all that to transpire. God wasn't doing it to him, but He was allowing it to him. And God, my friend, is the one that sets up the barricades and the restrictions and the limitations of Satan in your life and in mine. And whatever happening, external things that's breaking your dreams, friend, that's God's working, and you need to learn how to say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord."
When Job found himself in the trouble that he's in, you know what he did? He took, the Bible said, and he sat down in some ashes, sackcloth, and he began to scrape his skin with a potsherd. Broken piece of pottery. Now listen, I'm not real sharp, but most folks from Harrelson County knows that ashes ain't nothing but leftovers from yesterday's fire. That's all ashes are. And most ever folks, even us country folks from here in this part of the country, that knows what ashes are. And lesson of chapter number 1 said of Job that he had offered sacrifices for his children in case they had sinned in their heart against the Lord, not knowing it. And he offered sacrifices for them. You know how they did that, don't you? They had to build a fire. Amen. Oh, thank God, I'm big man fit. And then he began to sit down. When everything was going wrong, he sat down in the leftovers of yesterday's fire. You know what he did? He sat down in the middle of that place where yesterday he built a sacrifice, where yesterday he prayed, where yesterday he worshipped, and he began to cover himself with the leftovers of yesterday's fire. Woo! Boy, I'm a telling you, and that's what he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, and that should be the name of the Lord." I'll tell you, when it seems like your dreams is shattered and everything's gone wrong, go back to what God's already done for you, what He's doing today, how He's touched you, how He's helped you, how He's changed you, how He's saved you. And you say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord." Woo! He knows best in our lives.
He knows best. Oh, yes. So many times we think we've got it all figured out, don't we? We know all the answers for our lives. We know better what God's supposed to be doing in us than what the Lord knows. His attitude would take so many times. But the best thing we can do is sit in the ashes of yesterday's fire and just remember what He's done before. He'll do it again and again and again. And trust God that He knows what He's doing for us, to us, in us, through us, all these things. Well, praise His high and holy name. What do? When you follow a star and you find a shack? Well, you better look for God and recognize God in the shacks of life. I mean, when your star leads you into a shack, remember that God's doing one of three things to you. He's either correcting you. Now, that is a possibility. That maybe you've been straying just a little bit. And the Lord's using the shack to correct you. But listen, there ain't no use in you letting that upset you, man. Because every time the Lord corrects you, just let me say it this way. The Lord don't want no younguns that ain't His. Amen. Oh, that's right. Thank God. And so when the Lord corrects you, all that is a good sign that you belong to Him. Amen, thank God. Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loveth, He rebukes and chastens, and scourgeth every son that He receiveth. Revelation 3:19, He said, that the Lord loves you, that He does rebuke you, and He does correct you. Amen. So He may be a correcting you, but be thankful for it. So without the Lord correction, you're surely get off course. The Lord's either correcting you, or secondly, maybe He's instructing you. I mean, He's trying to reveal Himself to you in a new way. For Romans 8:28 said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. I mean, it's through storms and tragedies and scattered dreams that He instructs us and shows us His way and will. And He shows us that no matter what the situation is, He's there in the middle of it. And He's got control of it all, friend. Amen. Or maybe He's not only correcting you and constructing you, He might be perfecting you. Now, the Bible even said of our Lord Jesus that He was made perfect through sufferings. Now, that does not mean that He wasn't already a perfect sacrifice, but rather that He was made complete, or, my friend, mature, if you will, to a full stature of what it was that God planned for Him. A lot of times in our lives, when we go through these experiences where we follow the star and find the shack, the Lord is trying to reveal Himself to us in perfecting us and completing us and helping us grow and become what He wants us to be for His honor and glory. He's trying to mold you into His image. He desires a vessel that He can use, and He's chosen you for that vessel. Help my friend find God. When your star leads to a shack, look for God. He'll be right in the middle of it. Come to worship. And worship, do just exactly that. Worship Him in the middle of your shack. When you follow a star and find a shack. Secondly, not only do you need to recognize God in the shacks of life, you need to render gifts in the shacks of life. Render gifts. I mean, they got to this place and they had in their hands gold and frankincense and myrrh. And by the way, just because there were three gifts does not mean there were three kings or three wise men or three magi or whatever in the flip you want to call them. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference to me what you call these fellows, but we don't know how many there were. May have been a whole great big band of them. May have just been one or two. I got a feeling that there wasn't a great big crowd of them, though. Because there never has been a whole lot of folks speaking after Jesus. Amen. And there's still, by the way, today, there's not a whole lot of folks that's seeking after Him and looking for Him and trying to experience Him. Amen. But they did bring three gifts. Now, they could have very well put their gifts up under their arm, back in their pants, loaded back up on their camel and said, hey, I expected we were coming to see somebody important. I mean, this is not what I expected. And I'm going to the house. And who could have blamed them? I mean, they came from thousands of miles away, a 2-year journey, to find a little boy laying in a shack in a carpenter's home. I mean, is this what they've been looking for? Who could have blamed them? I want to tell you, friend, thank God. Even though I hadn't turned down like they planned, they gave Jesus what was rightfully His. I want to say, when your star turns into a shack, that's not the time to hoard what you have. That's not the time to quit on God. That's the time to give. Give yourself. Give your time and your talent and your treasure, your times. I mean, that's the time to give. Amen. I've had folks tell me, preacher, I cannot afford to give to the Lord. I want to say, you can't afford not to. I like what Brother Eddie says, the Lord will get it. that's it's his. He'll get it one way or another anyhow. You can either get it to the church or you can get it to the mechanic and the doctor. Amen, that's right. Oh, yes. And the repairman and all that kind of stuff. Or you can give it to the Lord. Thank God. I cannot afford it not to give. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. I can't afford not to give. I mean, friend, all the blessings I have come from the Lord. And He could turn the spigot off anytime He so chooses. But I'm so glad for the days He's rolled down the window in glory world. Turned all heaven up on His side and poured it out on me. Amen. And He said He would do so if we'd be obedient to Him, bringing tithes and offerings into His storehouse according as His word has commanded us. I mean, you can't outgive God. You can't give Him too much. You won't give Him so much that you won't get enough in return. Matter of fact, if you were to give Him everything you could ever get a hold to, you still couldn't pay Him back for what He's already done for you. I mean, friend, if I had all riches that the world had to give, and I gave it all away every penny of my name and search the world over far and wide to try to buy His precious love, it was sent from God above. Oh, it wouldn't be enough. No, it wouldn't be enough to buy one splinter of the tree that Jesus died on. Oh, no, I could not pay the price for one single drop of blood that was shed for my salvation. I tell you, friend, you can't outgive God. Best thing you can do when you find yourself and a sack is written on gifts and to the Lord. Amen. That's right. Matter of fact, I'd say not only can you not outgive God, there ain't many folks that ever tries. And them that do are sure glad they did. Amen. That's right. Outgive the Lord. Matter of fact, the surest way to be a blessing or to get a blessing is to be a blessing. Most folks this morning said, praise God, preacher, I wouldn't want to miss church for nothing. I wouldn't want to miss my blessing. God help you. I tell you, that ought not be the reason how come you come to church is to get a blessing all the time. Was everything about you? I mean, the whole sun, moon, earth, everything spin around and around you? I didn't know that's the way it works. I mean, you ought to come to church to honor and glorify God and to edify the church. In other words, to give glory to God and to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, if you'll do that, God will bless you. But if all you come for is just to get your blessing and to try to get what you can get out of it, you'll likely go home empty today. You'll likely go home empty. Amen. Learn to render gifts in the sacks of life. Well, preacher, you done killed the meat and preaching on a Christmas sermon, and even preached on tithing and that. I can't help that. I can't help it if that rubs you wrong. It's still the teaching the Word of God. And you ought to be obedient to God. If you will, you'll be happy. I live it in your sack of life. The Lord won't always give T-bone steak along the way, but He sure will give a special flavor to biscuit and gravy if you'll serve Him and be obedient to the Lord. Amen. You hadn't got to always have the biggest and best of everything. But I tell you, when you got the Lord, everything you've got to look like it's biggest and the best. Amen. If you really learn to serve God and seek God in the midst of your shacks, following a star and finding a shack. I mean, recognize God in the shacks of life. Render gifts in the shacks of life. Finally, I'll close that with this. Receive grace in the shacks of life. I mean, friend, while they were there, they experienced two kinds of grace. First, they experienced saving grace. Secondly, they experienced a sustaining grace. Not only did they come to know the Lord in this shack, but He also altered their course. And they were warned in a dream not to go back unto Herod, and they departed into their own country. Another different way. Another way. I want to tell you, everybody that's ever come and kneeled before the Lord with an humble heart, my friend, with repentance and faith, they left and went home a different way. They were changed. Their course was altered. I want to tell you, friend, if you're here today lost without God, God will not only save you, but He'll be direct your life. When your star leads you to a shack, you can expect to find God's grace in that hour of need. And your need may be great, but my grace is sufficient for thee. There'll be grace forever need, even in the difficult times of life. Amen. Life is seldom fair. Life is seldom what you think it ought to be. But even when life lets us down, be sure that God will never let you down. That old song said, I've never been disappointed in Jesus. I've disappointed Him so many times, but I've never been disappointed in Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, when our star leads us to a shack, we can expect that God will provide leadership and guidance for us. Safely this far, Jesus has brought me. And there's no need to doubt Him now. As God's children, we're never alone and never without recourse. He'll always make a way for us and support us through our shacks of life. I praise His high and holy name. Everything in life hadn't always went the way that I wanted it to. But I'm glad I can honestly say, Brother Jeff Bryant, there's never been a time that the Lord hadn't been with me. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And He said, if a man's going to have friends, he's got to show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Thank God for Jesus this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. Well, I'm done preaching. Would you come with a song? I believe I've told you what the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning. I wonder, are you saved by the grace of God? Have you ever been following a star and wound up in a shack? Surrounded by the debris of the shattered hopes and dreams of your life? Maybe you're there today. Everything in your life, your marriage, your home, your children, your career, has not turned out according to plan. If so, let me tell you that Jesus is still in your shack. Your problems hadn't frightened Him away. And He's working on your behalf and is concerned about your need. Why don't you do what the wise men did? Fall down before Him and worship Him. Give what you do have to Him. And you'll find more treasures in that shack than you ever dreamed. And you'll leave a different way. They must have thought when they pulled up, riding on them camels with all that entourage and wealth, they must have thought this sure is a pitiful place. These poor old folks don't have nothing, do they? When they left out of there, they realized that they were the ones that didn't have anything and that everything that was worthwhile was in that little shack. I want to tell you, in life, lots of times, the world looks at the old church and they say, oh, there's not much to them. Look at that pitiful little band of faithful few. Well, we got it made, and those fellows are struggling to get by. We got all answers. But little did they know that there's more treasures in that little shack. More treasures amongst them people of God than the whole world could offer. You going to sing it, I'd rather have Jesus. Stand with us if you would. Maybe you need to get saved today. Maybe in your life things hadn't gone just exactly according to plan. As a saint of God, you thought when you got saved everything was going to get all right, and it ain't got all right, and everything's a bigger mess now than what you ever dreamed it could be. But the Lord hadn't forgot about you in the middle of your situation. He's trying to teach you some things. Would you come fall to His knees and learn from the Master this morning? Worship Him. Bring honor and glory to His name. Jesus singing, if you need to come, would you come today?
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be a king of a vast domain or be than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather just be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be a king of vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather, much rather have Jesus than anything this world affords
and chocolate.